VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today. Ladies and gentlemen, matters continue to escalate in the Russia-Ukraine conflict. We've got Ukrainian President Zelensky making his rounds to nations and live video addresses for countries to take greater action, including the declaration of a no-fly zone. Yesterday, he pled with our own Congress to do more. We have the UN International Court of Justice ordering Russia to immediately suspend military action in Ukraine. Communist China sided with Russia in opposition. Well, our guest today indicates that there has been an enormous amount of misinformation and disinformation on both sides. So here to discuss the topic with us, we welcome to Crosstalk Jim Simpson. He's an investigative journalist, businessman, and former economist and budget examiner for the White House Office of Management and Budget, serving under Presidents Reagan, H.W. Bush, and Clinton. He's an expert on immigration and refugee resettlement. His articles have been published widely in Accuracy in Media, American Thinker, Breitbart, Daily Caller, Epoch Times, Washington Times, WND.com, and elsewhere. He's the author of several books, including The Red-Green Axis 2.0, An Existential Threat to America and the World. His latest book, Who Was Karl Marx? The Men, the Motives, and the Menace Behind Today's Rampaging American Left. Jim, welcome here to Crosstalk today.
Hey, Jim, great to be with you.
Wondering if you can separate some fact from fiction for us. You talk about an enormous amount of misinformation and disinformation on both sides, you know, Russia and Ukraine. Break that down for us. Tell us what you mean.
Well, in the beginning we saw pictures of supposed Russian devastation that were actually, you know, file photos from like the Middle East and things like that. We had the Ukrainians claiming they had killed 11,000 Russians within like the first week or so of the war. Recent reports put the numbers of Russians killed at about 2,000, and I have very good inside information that is about however many Russians were killed. There's at least an equal number of Ukrainians who have been killed. There's just so many things coming out of there. It's very difficult to know, to separate truth from fiction. You know, there was something on I saw the other night where a guy recorded on his cell phone. He was an American who went over there to volunteer to fight, and he said that they tried to get out. They tried to leave the front lines because it was just it was a waste of time, and they got stopped. They had their weapons and their kit taken away from them, and then they were forced back to the front where many of them were killed, and they're all being counted as Ukrainian casualties. And, you know, when this thing first started and I heard of people wanting to go there and fight, that's the most foolish idea you could ever think of, because I don't believe the Ukrainians would think twice about putting especially American fighters in the line of fire, because, you know, a dead American is a great propaganda prop for them to gin up support for this war they're conducting, or at least this battle they're facing with the Russian invasion. And so, and you always have to think twice anytime anything like this happens, because the Russians are masters at deception. They are masters at propaganda. And, you know, the Ukrainians really aren't far behind. So it's really hard to figure out what Zelensky hopes to gain. Because, you know, one of the things, they're talking about the incompetence of the Russian military, and it may well be, but the columns are bogged down because the roads are uncharacteristically wet, and, you know, most of the roads aren't paved. So so they're getting bogged down in mud. But when that mud dries out, they're just going to roll over the rest of Ukraine, and that's going to be that. And it doesn't matter what we give them in terms of defensive weapons. It won't be enough. And then the other thing is the Russians, they shot off that Soviet-era drone that landed harmlessly in Croatia. But the thing about that was that it was a slow plotting thing, and it flew right through NATO air defenses without even being identified. And so, to me, that was a shot across the bow telling NATO and the United States, by extension, that if they use some of their modern hypersonic weapons to attack the West, we would be defenseless against it. And so, there's a lot going on. And the thing is, the United States, we are foolishly walking ourselves into World War III as we're upping the ante against Russia. You know, Republican senators sending a letter saying that, we needed to provide Erica, we needed to provide all these things that we weren't doing enough. And really, we're skirting right on the edge of World War III here. And I don't give Biden the credit, either through his own ignorance and ineptitude or even deliberateness of walking us into World War III. It's truly frightening.
You know, Jim, we've heard it said that Putin just resents the fall of the Soviet Union. He wants to restore to its original territory. Comment on this. Yeah. What's your take on that which we're told?
Well, it's true and it's false. First of all, they have every intention of reconstituting the Soviet Union. But what most people don't get, and, I get a lot of pushback on this, but it's really... I have the facts on my side. The fall of the Soviet Union was a false flag operation. It was orchestrated from the top to do. It's a Sun Tzu, ancient Chinese war philosopher Sun Tzu. It's called denying your enemy an enemy. So when the Soviet Union fell and communism supposedly disappeared, the U.S. Congress and the president tripped all over themselves to cut defense spending and declare themselves the victors and go home. And both Republicans and Democrats were guilty of that. Meanwhile, the Russians were modernizing their missile fleet. While begging us, claiming poverty, it was the funniest thing in the world. And you look all around you, and communism has never been as successful. It's spreading throughout Africa. It's spreading throughout South and Central America. And we're sitting here thinking, well, we won. The war's over. We're all going home, and we don't have to worry about Russia anymore, They practice another strategy of Sun Tzu. It's called when near appear far, when weak appear strong, when strong appear weak. So they have really deluded us into believing that we are the sole superpower, and they couldn't challenge us. But Dmitry Medvedev said today, he said, Russia has the might to put all of our brash enemies in their place. And, that's a direct threat. That's saying we can destroy you if we want to. And, I wouldn't put it past them to try.
You've also indicated that communist agents of the KGB have actually remained in place. I mean, in the so-called liberated nations of the former USSR and just awaiting instructions to reassert their authority. And this is rather mind-boggling to think about, just as it is for sleeper cells, here in the United States. So tell us about these plans within these European nations, about these sleeper cells, so to speak, the KGB agents yet on duty?
Well, you know, they never really left. You know, for example, when the wall fell, there's something like 80,000 Stasi agents, you know, the East German KGB, that just basically vanished. And nobody knows what they went or where they went. A few months later, after the fall, the head of West German intelligence was assassinated. You know, that those kind of things just don't get reported. But these people remained in place, and in many cases, you know, they rule from below. And it's sort of like an invisible hand. It's kind of like the way the bureaucracy in the United States works. You know, we had President Trump for the last 4 years trying to do all kinds of things, and he was being undermined at every turn by the bureaucracy. And it's very similar to what happens in former East Bloc countries. Now, a lot of those countries, I mean, they were very anxious to throw off the yoke of Soviet repression, and so they have, and to make it real, the Soviets, you know, allowed a lot of these what are called controlled democracies to emerge in Eastern Europe. But if push came to shove, they would rapidly find that they really had very limited control over what was going on, and the Russian tanks could just roll in and roll right over them at any time. And, you know, this is a strategy that was first developed in the 1960s, and it was described to us by one of the early and most prominent Soviet defectors, a guy named Anatoly Golitsyn, who wrote a book in 1984 called New Lies for Old, where he predicted the emergence of controlled democracies in Eastern Europe. He predicted the fall of the Berlin Wall, and it's because he was privy to those plans that were already, you know, well underfoot, and they developed their networks over the decades so that once when they actually activated this plan, those networks could remain in place and were strong. Now, I've heard from somebody that has contacts within Ukraine, pretty high-level contacts, that some of them have actually decided to switch sides, that they were, you know, Ukrainian assets that the Russians recruited, but now they decided, the heck with this. We don't want the Russians to come back, so they switched sides. Now, that may be true, although those people have a bullseye on their back if it's really true, because if Russia succeeds in rolling into Ukraine, which I think is pretty much a foregone conclusion, those people, if they actually did that, are going to be stood up against a wall and shot.
Jim Simpson, our guest here today on Crosstalk, an investigative journalist, former economist, budget examiner for the White House Office of Management and Budget, and with an examination here of this, what's going on with Russia and Ukraine right now. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the Biden impact on this war. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, we know that Mount Everest is the tallest mountain in the world. Was that also covered by the waters of Noah's flood?
Chris, the Bible says that the entire earth was covered by water, but I really don't think Mount Everest existed at the time of the flood. Mount Everest, and indeed all the mountain chains in the world, are made up of ocean bottom sediments. These sediments were deposited as mud at the bottom of the flood ocean. Late in the flood, they were uplifted into our present mountain chains. In fact, at the top of Mount Everest are fossils of ocean-bottom clams. This does not mean that the floodwater sloshed over Mount Everest. Sediments which now make up Mount Everest were deposited at the bottom of the flood ocean and then uplifted to form Mount Everest. Chris, the entire world was altered by the great flood of Noah's day. This we're told when we go back to Genesis.
You can find us on the web at www.icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Jim Simpson is with us today, and folks, he's recently put out a book entitled Karl Marx, The Men, The Motives, and The Menace Behind Today's Rampaging American Left. A very provocative book, and we're going to be mentioning some elements of it here. But, Jim, for those who'd like to obtain a copy of this brand-new book, and we'll have to have you come back on just to talk about the book itself, but give us a website, a way that our listeners can obtain this, because it's very insightful as to what's happening in our world today.
Yeah, the easiest way to do it, I mean, you can get it in Amazon, but the easiest way to do it is to go to my website, which is crisisnow.net, and that has the archives of many of my articles in many locations. But it also, on the front page, has a direct link to the Amazon page where you can order it. And it's also available at Abe Books and Goodreads and other sites like that. But that's probably the easiest way to do it. Go to crisisnow.net.
Again, folks, crisisnow.net. Jim, let's talk about this Biden impact on the war. I mean, did it make a difference for Vladimir Putin for Russia to act under a President Biden versus a President Trump?
Well, see, that's why I think that we're going to see a lot more. You know, as I said, that they fully intend to reconstitute the Soviet Union, which never really fell apart entirely. But they have to pick a good time. And there's not there. I think that their calculus was, we have the weakest president in American history, and I would even argue a very anti-American president. And they saw, and knowing what the polls say about Democrat prospects and Biden prospects for 2024, if they don't steal it all with massive vote fraud like they're trying to do, you know, this may be their only shot to safely retake those that geography that they want back. And so, yeah, I think it was entirely the result of this election and this absolutely weak, really mentally impaired and absolutely feckless and incompetent, at best, president. Now, and I think it goes further than that. I think he's actually working for the other side.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. No, well, so, you know, there's a few things. First, you know, Biden's family took $3.5 million from the wife of the mayor of Moscow. His son, Hunter, took 80-something thousand a month for years from Burisma, a Ukrainian company. We know about all the money, the $30 million and whatever else the Biden family got from communist China. They are so compromised, they really have no power personally against anybody in any of the communist countries. Their hands really are tied. And I would even go further and say that Biden's total sabotage of Afghanistan was a deliberate bow to the communist Chinese. Well, because getting rid of Bagram Airport got rid of a very scary American base on China's western flank, and it also opened up Afghanistan to Chinese mining of lithium, which we know is going to be a huge, boon for their economy if Biden's lunatic green energy proposals, come to fruition with electric cars and electric everything and moving away from fossil fuels. It's bloody insanity, but they stand to benefit greatly.
We're going to revisit this area of China here in a bit. Jim, yesterday, though, we had President Biden calling Putin a war criminal. First time we've heard those words from him. Your response to that terminology that was used?
Well, first of all, I think it's a throwaway line. I mean, it's provocative, and it sounds very, you know, I'm standing up to Putin by saying things like that. You know, it makes a good headline for the Washington Post, but it's really weak. Putin doesn't care about any of that stuff. You know, they've been war criminals for their entire lives. You know, Russia is a terrorist state. It's run by guys who are literally terrorists. The KGB, they are literal terrorists. They terrorize the population. They commit murder at will. And they export that kind of thing all over the world. And the communist Chinese are the same way. Now, these days, they don't do it unless they have to. But they already have the object lesson of killing 40 million of their own people in the past. And those people aren't any different from Stalin or Brezhnev or Lenin. They all have the same mindset. People are expendable. And in fact, I talk about that a great deal in my book about their whole attitude towards others. And it's stunning, frankly. It's stunning how little regard they have for human life.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking at your book, Who Was Karl Marx? And you talk about this state-sponsored genocide. And the most gruesome application in communist nations all over the world. And you see the multiple millions through the Soviet Union and communist China, Nazi Germany, and so forth. I mean, it is mind-boggling that, I mean, human life is really nothing to them. It's expendable, and there's just nothing about human life that would stop them from doing what they want to do.
No, absolutely. And in fact, Mao, I have a quote from Mao Zedong, where he describes it perfectly. He says, "I do not agree with the view that to be moral, the motive of one's actions has to be benefiting others. People like me want to satisfy our hearts to the full, and in so doing, we automatically have the most valuable moral codes. Of course, there are people and objects in the world, but they are all there only for me. People like me have a duty to ourselves. We have no duty to other people."
Wow. You in that book, you also write about Lenin's strategy of hate. Does that same hatred reside in Putin?
Oh, well, it's a strategy. It's not a reality. I mean, they're trained to believe that, you know, capitalism is evil. But the fact of the matter is they're probably some of the best capitalists in the world. They just don't earn it. They steal it from everybody else. I mean, these people want power, and they want the absolute wealth that comes with it. You know, and I talk about the Russians and this whole aspect when I give speeches. You know, I talk about Putin's 20 palaces, his yachts, his helicopters, his airplanes, his multi-billions in assets. These people just want to make, they want to be like gods, put it that way. They want to be like gods on earth and enjoy all the privileges that absolute wealth and absolute power can afford them. And they care about nothing else, nothing else. So Lenin, but they all justify this by ginning up this propaganda that they all have to tell each other, even though none of them believe it. And if you get them, you know, in a moment of rare candor, they will say, yeah, what we really want is, you know, is the money. We don't really believe all this stuff. But when you rationalize that your enemies are the ones who are full of hate and destruction and do everything that's bad, it provides you with justification for pursuing the goals to destroy these people, because obviously people like that are evil, you know. And so So that's how they justify it. And they justify it by ginning up hate. And let me just see. I have a quote from Lenin here. It's really quite amazing, but I have to find it.
That's all part of the response mechanism and building that hate. As we look back here at Russia and Ukraine and matters going on right now, yesterday we had the Ukrainian President Zelensky pleading with our Congress to do more. He's pushing for a no-fly zone. Yep. He wants additional aircraft, air defense machines, a new security alliance. What would happen? What's to play out if a no-fly zone would be declared? I mean, Putin has indicated, this is going to be world war if this breaks out.
Yeah, well, it could well be. I mean, you're talking about, and they've even gone so far as to say that we should use American pilots.
Yeah.
Anybody establishing a no-fly zone is going to have air combat with the Russians' most advanced fighters, which are more advanced than the MiG-29, by the way. And they will shoot them down. And if American pilots are going over there, that really is, it's like a provocation for war. It really is.
What response should the U.S. have in this matter?
Well, you know, this is what interests me. I've never seen the media and the institutional establishment so vociferously champion Zelensky as a hero and the Ukrainians as heroes for fighting off these evil Russians. And honestly, I've never seen the media pushing for war like this. Now, think about when we went into Iraq in 2003. Prior to that time, Clinton and many in the left had said Saddam has weapons of mass destruction, and they urged a invasion. And so when W. Bush invaded, all of a sudden, they flipped the narrative. There were no WMD, George W. Bush is a warmonger, and they flipped the whole narrative. Here, they've stuck with the idea that Putin has to be defeated, and Zelensky's a hero. I honestly don't know what Zelensky's motives are. In the beginning, he said, we were fighting this war to save globalism. What the heck does that mean?
Well, and he's been a proponent of the Great Reset as well.
Right. And you know what? And that's the thing, because there is not an ounce of light between the World Economic Forum, globalism, and Russian communism as practiced by Putin.
We're going to take a quick break here. We're talking with Jim Simpson here today on Crosstalk, investigative journalist, former economist and budget examiner for the White House. He is an expert on immigration and refugee resettlements, and we've got some more discussion after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
The Bible follows the rise and fall of kingdoms and governments, covers millennia of ancient history, and reveals God's plan for humanity through powerful accounts that still speak to us today. In the hardcover book, Charting the Bible Chronologically, authors Tommy Ice and Ed Heinzen have teamed up to provide readers a panoramic view of the events recorded in Scripture, all laid out in chronological order. This book takes you from the words in the beginning all the way to the New Jerusalem. With 40-plus full-color charts, you will see timelines of biblical history, pre-flood genealogy, Israel, the life of Christ, and a master fold-out chart of the entire Bible. This is a vital resource for new believers and Bible scholars alike, providing a visual guide to God's unfolding plan. Charting the Bible Chronologically is available for a donation of $25 or more to VCY. Call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Jim Simpson with us here today. He's written a book, Who Was Karl Marx? The Men, the Motives, and the Menace Behind Today's Rampaging American Left. It's available through his site, crisisnow.net. Crisisnow.net. We are looking at this Russian-Ukraine conflict. What's really going on is trying to boil down many of the issues here today and sorting out some of the propaganda that's coming forth. But we are seeing just so many issues that are coming to play in all of this, Jim. And one of these I want to bring up to you is the China element. Your comments on this, because we are seeing a communist China siding with Russia on so many different fronts here. And it's just ironic because at the same time, you know, we are trying to negotiate with Russia to have this new Iranian global deal take place. And it's like the hypocrisy running through and through all of this. But China, they've got some strong ties to Russia here, do they not?
Oh, yeah. No, you know, that's. The foolishness is just so beyond description. It's hard to even get your mind around. You know, Biden goes to Red China and say, come on, try to talk Russia out of this Ukraine thing. Meanwhile, he's going, while he's calling Putin, a war criminal, at the same time he's going hat in hand to the Russians to ask them for his help in restarting the nuclear discussions with Iran.
Yep.
So that and it has to be the absolute worst treaty, and it wasn't even a treaty; it was never signed. You know, the treaty with Iran on nuclear weapons that Obama ginned up.
Senate never ratified it.
It's all just absolute insanity, and how Biden could think, you know, he's going to be calling Putin the devil and supplying all these weapons and beating the drumbeats of war, and then at the same time going to Russia and saying, could you please help us with Iran?
I mean,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's absolutely nuts. You know, remember I had mentioned earlier that you had asked about Lenin's strategy of fate.
Yeah.
I just want to quote something that Lenin wrote. He said, deepen the contradictions, and if they don't exist, create them. Or if you can't create them, convincingly claim that they exist, and then deepen them. And in the process, profit the most from them in any way you can, politically, ideologically. And in the resulting chaos, blame our enemies for the whole mayhem.
Wow.
Finally come up with the solutions that will favor us and that will be the root of new future crises to be exploited in the future and so on until the targeted capitalist society is destroyed completely.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. That's what's going on. That's what we're seeing. That's what's happening with critical race theory. That's what's happening with the transgender agenda. Everything we're seeing in this country is Leninism.
Yeah. Globalism and communism, are they one and the same or different?
No, they're absolute. They're different approaches to the same ultimate result, which is world communism. You know, most people don't know that the United Nations, the UN Charter was written by Alger Hiss, probably the most notorious Soviet agent in American history. He was in the FDR State Department, as you know, and he wrote the UN Charter along with 16 other members of the Council of Foreign Relations and other members of the Communist Party for the deliberate purpose of giving the Soviets an advantage in all foreign affairs. And it did that right from the outset. Every single UN leader, secretary general, has been either a communist or a socialist. And despite the fact that we provide more money than any other country, most other countries combined, actually, we have never had a American General Secretary, and the stuff coming out of the UN is almost exclusively targeted towards the West, towards Israel, towards everything we do. And it always has been that way. And the UN is, you know, the perceived body for a future, for a globalist future. So the people who are globalists, and, you know, Klaus Schwab, who's the head of the World Economic Forum, it was very interesting. I'm sure you saw it, the picture of him sitting on his desk with a bust of Lenin directly behind him on the bookcase. He's a communist. He's a Leninist. And all these people are working towards the same end using different angles. And that's frankly, that's a Soviet strategy since the beginning. Use different angles, different people, you know, different groups, and present it all as separate, different, unrelated, but they're all related and they're all working together.
Yeah. And as was said years ago, you can trust a communist to be a communist.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jim Simpson, our guest today, our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829 is our phone number, 800-733-9829. Again, his website, crisisnow.net. Jim, I know there's been talk about, we're hearing some discussions, rattling of cages about biological weapons. We're hearing the words nuclear weapons. Are we really heading down that path?
Well, I think it's too soon to tell, but it's not outside of the realm of possibilities. I don't think, you know, I think just the threat of that is enough. If it was appeared to be imminent, would be enough for the Western leadership as it currently stands to fold like a cheap tent. You know, there's no Western European leader that wants to get involved in a direct conflict with Russia because they know it would not end well. And they know that unlike Western European leaders, you know, the Russians do not feel constrained in any way in terms of the kind of military offensives they use, the kind of weapons they use. You know, they have never honored any of the arms control agreements that they've entered into with us. You know, it's been a very one-sided thing. We honor the agreements, and they don't. And they wouldn't honor anything like that in a shooting war. You know, it's true that shooting or targeting civilians is considered a war crime. Mm-hmm. They don't have a problem with that. They don't care. It's our side. It cares. And whenever and the media only ever bothered them when, for example, in the Vietnam War or in Afghanistan or Iraq, a stray bomb hit a civilian area, you know, then they went up in arms. But the communists never, ever restrained themselves from using any kind of tactic that they felt would be necessary for them to win.
Let's go to the phone lines.
Just the threat of it.
Yep. Jeff in Racine, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just had a question. I think you kind of touched on it a little bit, but I remember back with the Trump impeachment, Zelensky's name came up quite a bit, and it all kind of started when apparently Trump asked Zelensky to do background check on Biden there in the Ukraine with the whole power company thing. And all of a sudden, you know, Zelensky wouldn't do it. And so, you know, Trump held out the money that was supposed to go over there. And then Zelensky then was supposed to be some kind of hero. But it was looking like he was involved in all the shady stuff with Biden. And all of a sudden he's a hero, the Zelensky guy. Now he's a hero again? I mean, something, I think this is the Zelensky guy. He's a good actor. I think he's letting his people be slaughtered. And that's just kind of the way it looks to me. I don't know what your thoughts are. I'll hang up now.
Thank you.
Well, you know, it's a really good point. And like I say, there are Russian Soviet agents in place. Now, I don't know that he's one. He's pretty young. It would not be outside of the realm of possibilities that he is one. And he's actually, this is kind of, I'll probably blow people's minds, but it's not outside of the realm of possibilities that he would actually be just doing his part to give Putin and company an excuse to come in to Ukraine and take it over, while at the same time, coming off as a hero while giving the Russians pretext for being even more aggressive. I found it interesting that early on he was supposedly targeted for assassination three times, and at least two of those three times, he was alerted to the plot by Russians. Now, why would they do that? I mean, were there Russians that were actually sympathetic, or was it just the whole thing just a big, PR campaign?
Yeah.
Make it look like he was, really targeted. You know, you can't know with these people because they have been so steeped in this, an entire lifestyle of deception.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what everything communism is all about, deception.
Deception. Yeah. Let's go to Zoe in Champaign, Illinois. Zoe, you're on the air.
Well, Jim Simpson just kind of said what I was thinking about Zelensky. I'm really very suspicious of him thinking that he and Putin may be on the same side. And he just put into law the first steps of the Great Reset, including basic universal income and a social credit system, which we don't want. That's so scary. And then also he says, because he's brought so much money into the Ukraine because he's so famous, that he's going to allow cryptocurrencies. And so I just saw this in a headline, and I was just looking at the story. And so I have friends over in England who actually can't sleep at night because they're worried about his welfare, because they just idolize him. And I don't understand this even. So, I mean, the press, I guess, has just ginned it up from somewhere. I'm not on board with it.
Okay, thank you, Zoe. We're going to have our guest comment. We know also he's been a big fan of Justin Trudeau and his socialistic policies.
Yeah. Yep. No, it's really quite something. And as I think I said earlier, he initially said, I'm defending globalism with this defense against Russia. But Russia's all about globalism also.
Mm-hmm.
So, you really have to wonder what's going on.
Yeah. Thank you for the call, Zoe. We're just up against a break. We'll take the break and come back right to your phone calls here in the last segment of the program. Jim Simpson is with us here today. Again, he is author of Karl Marx, The Men, the Motives, and the Menace Behind Today's Rampaging American Left, available at crisisnow.net. Back in just 1 minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Last year on my radio show, I began to read a document from the Rockefeller Foundation that's entitled Reset the Table, Meeting the Moment to Transform the U.S. Food System. Well, what is that moment? When will that moment be? My friends, I believe that moment is pretty much right now. What's going on? Massive food price increases, massive inflation, a fertilizer crisis, a fuel crisis. Much of this has all been manipulated. So many of the things that this administration and central government have been done deliberately to bring down America. Do we really think that many of the people in office today are working for America, or are they working for China? All you got to do is read the book by Peter Schweitzer to know many of them have been caught red-handed taking the money and influence of China. And now they want to accomplish what the Communist Manifesto calls for, getting the government control of the food so they can get control of the people. I'm Brandon House. This is the Worldview Report.
listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. It's your turn now. We'd like to hear from you, your questions, brief comments, here at 800-733-9829. We're going to Tom calling from Port Wing, Wisconsin. Tom, you're on the air.
Yes, I just want to say Zelensky would have to be willfully ignorant to not know that his people were going to be slaughtered in this situation. But as far as the media that we're seeing marching in lockstep, you know, on the issue of guns in this country, they're gun grabbers. In Ukraine, they're all in favor of the average person having a gun. They're opposed to Putin saying that he's taking people off of Facebook and Twitter, yet the media said nothing when 80 million people were denied a chance to operate on Twitter with the president. That was okay. The lockstep movements are what concern me the most, and the hypocrisy is just the icing on the cake.
Tom, thank you for that observation. Jim?
Yeah, no, absolutely. 100% agree. It's just stunning to see how the media is working in lockstep to push this whole thing. It's creepy.
Hmm. Barry is calling from Tennessee. Barry, you're on the air.
Yes, the gentleman, he's exactly right about saying that he believes that the Biden administration is working along with Russia's for what they're doing right now, because that's why Biden was picked during the Obama administration, to prepare him for this day, just like when Obama was speaking to the Russian diplomat on a hot mic, and he said, well, I can do more in my second term. And, that's why he's leading from behind in everything he does, and it always looks like he just has no care for this country, because he is like the man said. He said he's anti-American, and he's for the bringing down of this country.
Mm. Yeah. No, he's viciously anti-American, and the thing is, you know, and I talk about the roots of that in my book, the people who put him in power. One of the guys who put him in power was giving atomic secrets to the Soviet Union. The thing is, you know, the media, everybody's talking about now Russia as this evil location and Putin as the heart of evil. And this is their way of recovering from that slip of the tongue that Obama did when he told Medvedev that he'd have more flexibility after the election. Mm. You know, that identified them as being people that are willing to work with Russia. So if they want to they have to go against that narrative, and so they gin up the whole thing against President Trump, Trump-Russia collusion, and then suddenly they're the biggest anti-Russians in the world. They've never been that way. The Democrats have always been reliably, at least not opposed to Soviet advances, and very much getting in the way of our advances, like with missile defense and all of our various arm control agreements.
Barry, thank you for the call. Lee is next in Hartford. You're on the air.
Hi. I didn't hear all the programs, so I'm hoping what I ask is relevant. I did hear you talk about a little bit about nuclear readiness or possibility of nuclear war. I'm just wondering, so what I understand is Russia is at the highest level of nuclear readiness right now. Wouldn't that mean that we also would have to be at that same level? I'll listen off the air. Thank you.
Thank you, Lee.
Well, maybe that we should be, but I don't think we aren't. At least I have not heard anywhere that we are.
Yeah, it's not made the front page news here like it has with what's going on with Russia.
Right.
Yeah. Richard is next. Franklin County, Washington. You're on the air.
Thank you, Jim. My question, first thing is, let me say this. I have Mr. Simpson's Red Green Axis, which I've read probably a year ago. Outstanding book. But my question today is, how about the uranium that we turned over to the enemy, to Russia and Putin? I'd like his comment on that. And why has that issue just disappeared?
Thank you, Richard.
Yeah, it's like every other issue when it puts the Democrats in a bad light. It just goes down the memory hole, doesn't it? And it's the same thing. I mean, really, this is just more prima facie evidence that the Democrats really, they don't oppose the Russians. They don't oppose communism. In fact, I think for a long time, a lot of them have been working alongside of the Russians covertly to undermine our country and usher in communism here. It's not a new thing. It's just that it gets covered up. And I discuss that at length in my book.
We've got Jim calling from New York. Hi, Jim, you're on the air.
Yes, just calling to see if I could get some background on the role of the elite in all of this. I know that the Canadian finance minister there, her grandfather was they're from the Ukraine, and her father was a follower of the Nazis, the SS in World War II. And it just seems like Zelensky, Biden, all of these guys are the field marshals, the generals acting out. And I'm wondering, like, who's above them? Do we know?
Thank you, Jim. We've got 45 seconds. Jim Simpson.
Well, it's a cabal of people, which includes leaders, people like Klaus Schwab, George Soros. But even those people, they are working for the international communist movement, which is and has always been led by Russia, and it is to this day. The fall of the Soviet Union was a deception. It's led by Russia with communist China as a close second, and that's where it all leads ultimately. And many of these people become very wealthy by virtue of falling in with this movement.
Jim from New York, thank you for the call here today. Jim Simpson has been our guest. And again, he's put forth a number of books here in laying out a lot of material, like The Red-Green Axis 2.0, An Existential Threat to America and the World. His latest book, Who Was Karl Marx? The Men, the Motives, and the Menace Behind Today's Rampaging American Left, available at crisisnow.net. That's crisisnow.net. Jim, thank you for coming and sharing your thoughts and observations on what's taking place in this Russia-Ukraine conflict, and sadly could involve the entire world here.
Thanks so much for having me, Jim.
And folks, thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.